Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Wednesday, June 24th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
Well, so I'm tending bar down there at Eklund and Sweden's last Tuesday, and this little guy's drinking, and he says, so where can a guy find some action? I'm going crazy out there at the lake. And I says, what kind of action? And he says, woman action. What do I look like? And I says, well, what do I look like? I don't arrange that kind of thing.
That is an interesting story. But speaking of interesting, we're back with more fun with Dick and Jane. Monk of TwistedMonk.com. And we're not just having fun either. No siree. Although you'd never know it from all the giggling that's going on. No, buckaroos, this is actually some serious sex edge-ucation. You see, my conversation with Monk is part of our look at the world of fetish sex and kink and alternative sexual lifestyles. As you know, I'm chatting with prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles from all over the world, in the hopes of gaining some perspective on edgy sex. And that's why this exceptional bondage performance artist is here again this week. If you somehow missed part one of this amazingly insightful discussion, look for last week's podcast, number 131, on my podcast page. You'll find a tab for that page at the top of drdicksexadvice.com, or you can just use my site's search function. Type in podcast number 131, and don't forget the pound sign. Monk invites you to enter his world and visit him at his website, twistedmonk.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up my How-To Video Library. My video library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. It's also a wonderful resource for sexual enrichment programming, too. Say you want a bit more information about one of the topics we're covering in this series, BDSM, fetish sex, swinging, and the like. Why, you'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that?
Yeah, you got that right.
I'm so glad you agree. Listen, check it out. You'll find a link to Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library right there at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video On Demand. So, now, without further ado, let's get back to Monk, who is patiently waiting for me to shut the fuck up. Welcome back, Monk. Thank you for spending more time with us and enlightening us about your life and the work that you do. Let's begin where we left off last week. We were talking about your work as a performance artist, and we talked briefly about your work as an educator, or at least in terms of your videos and your activism. Can we talk a little bit now about power play? And what I want to talk about is the edgier side to you than the stuff that you exhibit on stage.
Yes, there is the side of me that performs, and then there is my personal play. I have been very lucky to have play partners and lovers who over the years have not only shared their desire to explore new things, but as well as shared a lot of their skills with me. I'm not a big fan of titles, so am I an edge player? I'm making air quotes. I don't know. I'm really not a big fan of that, because I don't like the idea of saying, well, if you're not this kinky, you're not cool, one of the cool kids. And see, everything we do is kinky, and everything we do is edgy. The first time somebody uses a piece of rope, this is edge play to them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can say, wow, you know, it's really cool. I got to stick needles in someone's face. And that was the most amazing thing, the way they trusted me when I did that. Uh-huh. was amazing. Does that make my kink better than your kink? No. But yes, I like some pretty out there stuff. And I've been really lucky to have partners who have challenged me.
Are you more of a dom or a sub, or are you both from time to time? And what dictates the reversal of roles, if there is one?
All right, well, dominant submission, and then I think you also need to think about masochism and sadism.
Right.
And so if people can sort of draw a coordinate, Cartesian
right.
XY coordinate,
right.
and think on the X coordinate, or the horizontal bar, is dominant, submissive,
mm-hmm.
on either ends, and on the Y, the up down, sadist, masochist.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere we all fall within that.
Right.
I know people who are sadistic bottoms,
mm-hmm.
you know, sadistic submissives, and I know people who are dominant masochists and things, and it kind of all flows. So what I think normally I tend to flow towards, I flow more towards being a dominant sadist.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that I do not bottom. I have one person with which I trust and will give up that control to, and
mm-hmm.
it's a very, very cool experience.
Right.
But for the most part, I tend to flow that way. What I think about it is, I have to refer to it as the good idea meter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, boys, we have a good idea meter. It's pretty evident. If we like something, our good idea meter, bing, it goes right up, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I get around people, and yeah, it's like, when I sort of exert this sadistic energy or this dominant energy towards a partner, and they respond back to that, and they feed that back
mm-hmm.
to me, yeah, my good idea meter goes off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, my good idea meter for being a masochist or being in any kind of role of submissive has only gone off for one person.
Uh-huh.
And so...
That's very interesting. Obviously you do have this preference then. Is there a difference in the kind of high associated with each role
mm-hmm.
That you can talk about?
There are differences even in like being a dominant versus being a sadist.
Right.
Because I have people that I play with as more as a dominant or in a power play,
right.
where it is the power is in like this control and being able to like think through everything and to sort of craft an experience.
Yes.
Versus, say, you're playing as a sadist, where the high is, oh my God, I have just unleashed this fury on someone and they have soaked it up and thanked me and asked for more.
Mm-hmm.
And to being able to like sort of tap into like a really, I don't want to call it a dark place, but you sort of tap into these elements of your psyche and get to really channel that and to have a partner who
mm-hmm.
accepts it, trusts you, and that you trust them enough to have them say to you, "Wow, thank you. Do that again to me. That was amazing." That's a serious high.
Yeah. I've heard other people talk about that same kind of thing. That
mm-hmm.
And the versatility of human sexuality or human sexual... The versatility of the human sexual response
mm-hmm.
is amazing, it seems to me. Under different circumstances, people respond differently.
You know, very much so. And so... Anyway, and there are situations where, okay, I need to... You know, I need a masochistic experience. I need to get out of my body. I'm wrapped up in stress. I'm wrapped up in something. And I, so
mm-hmm.
I come to my partner and say, "Look, sweetie, I love you. I really, really need you just to beat the living shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need you to just really unload
mm-hmm.
the sadism on me because I need mm-hmm. to be forced back into my body and just work this out of my system."
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cathartic bottoming.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As well as, yeah, I mean... you know, like the roles I have with my partners are such that, you know, we might be very switchy or we might be, okay, look, I'm going to create this experience for you, so you're just going to bottom with me.
Yeah.
And so you're just, you know, I'm driving this boat.
Mm-hmm.
You just sit back and follow instructions and you're going to have a great time. I promise you're going to have a good orgasm when you're done. So, yeah, it is. The high is good. I find, yeah, that my high tends to flow more and with more people towards being, let me... be sadistic, let me be dominant, and give me that power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real fun play to me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when they give it to you, and you can, you know, there's something about, like, sadism, sexual sadism, that's, as boys, we were taught to never hit girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me so long to figure out that I was okay with this, I could do this. I remember the very first time I really was a dominant top in an experience. I was at a swing club, and I started just sort of exerting my control, saying, no, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you know, and, you know, denying her certain things, and you're restraining her back just by holding this girl back who really, really wanted something. And I was so aroused by it, but at the same time, I was kind of mortified by it, because nice guys don't do this. So
it's a conflict of cultural
conflict. So I went to my kinky mother-in-law, who is a submissive, who is in an SM relationship, who is one of the reasons why when she first came out that we really started doing our homework on this,
right?
Because we love this individual. Like, well, what does this mean for you,
right,
to tell me that you're,
right,
kinky? And I told her, I'm like, wow, but I'm a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks at me and she says, sweetie, the best tops are the sweetest men in the world. So, and I always believe that, like, your dominance or your sadism, it must be countered with tenderness.
Yeah.
It must be countered. It's like, I can't just go dead-eyed, and I can't just go, we refer to the term as Lord Master Nutsack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am Darth Badger, and you will do as I say, because I'm a top, and I've got boots on, and you're my submissive, and you have no rights. It's like, guys, this is a gift this person's,
mm-hmm,
giving you.
Yeah.
You need to acknowledge it. You need to glorify it. And for
besides, that gift has to continue to come from,
yeah,
her or him, the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, in order to, you know,
or it becomes abuse.
That's right. Exactly.
And so
that.
I always tell people, and especially when I play, it is this, like, I will kick the living snot out of you. I will fucking destroy you, but you must give me the opportunity to care for you when you're done. Because it's the only way for me to, so that you can come back to center and I can come back to center. Because,
right,
if I'm going to go that far out of my emotional safety net,
right,
I need to come back as,
right,
well as you do.
And that's what we call aftercare, yes.
Mm-hmm. Aftercare.
Good. So I just realized not too long ago that you are a pro, that,
mm-hmm,
you are a male pro-dom who sees only female clients.
Mm-hmm. I refer to myself as a rent-a-meanie, because pro-dominant, we haven't been able to find a good word for it,
yeah,
so I just refer to myself as a rent-a-meanie.
And how did this come about? And why only women? Are you some kind of male chauvinist?
You know, the thing is, it's that for men, there are a million male pro-doms who see men.
Yes.
And there are a million of them. And if a guy wanted to come see me, that's fine. I frankly think that there are far better ones out there than me. This came about because, one of my partners is a sex worker, and for years, you know, she and Lady are always like, no, men can never be, the gigolo is a myth. They do not exist,
uh-huh,
and every time someone asked them, they'd laugh at them. But this sort of came about because, how do I tell the story? I had somebody who really, really wanted to play with me, and I'm in the middle of a death march. Death march is when we're getting ready for a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I'm sorry, I have to work on Sunday. I have to work this Sunday. I can't play with you. I'm sorry. She goes, well, why don't you just have an employee do it? I'm like, oh, it's Sunday. I'd have to pay him overtime, time and a half. I couldn't. It's cheaper. I just have to do the work. Because when you're the boss of a small company,
uh-huh,
if it doesn't get done, you do it.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, let me buy you the day off.
Wow.
Well, what would you pay this person? Well, about this much. Okay. I will buy you the day off. And she bought me the day off.
Wow.
And I spent it kicking her ass, and I was done. And it was great. And so for about a year, she was, you know, like, can I buy a day off? I'm like, well, okay. So while, you know, I'm not as prolific because, you know, I've got, you know, this really, really amazingly popular bondage rope company that consumes most of my life and two partners, I do have a handful of, I like to prefer to think of them as patrons, because what they're doing is they're enabling me to take days off.
Right.
That show you saw at SEAF, that,
yeah,
was underwritten by a couple of very, very generous individuals,
right,
who wanted to see me pursue art.
Right.
And so they helped underwrite that.
Yeah.
Thank
you to them.
Yeah,
thank
you,
sure,
very much. We love you. You know who you are. And so instead of thinking like in those classic like sex worker terms of like these are just anonymous Johns or something like that, there's a very, very tiny handful of people that I have created these relationships where we can allow them to explore these things,
mm-hmm,
that they may not have the opportunity to,
mm-hmm,
that they may, up to this point, maybe because they have a partner that they love, but it's very vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, look, I love you. Go try this somewhere else because I just do not have it in me to do this.
Right.
Or they're a point where it's like, I don't want to go out into the public vein to do this.
Right.
Or they go, well, you're a rock star. You know, hello, I want the rock star to tie me up. Yeah. I don't want, you know, any Tom, Dick, or Harry. So I've been really, really lucky in that way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to retire anytime soon, mind you, but it does allow me to do really cool things like create our project for Seif.
Right. I know this is a bit more philosophical than you may want to get, but I want to ask this question anyhow. Where do the Dom and Sub archetypes come from, do you suppose?
Ancient Greece. The Emperor Testicles decreed it that on every third Thursday you were to grab another man by the genitals, and if he were to drop to his knees, then he was submissicus, and then there was the festival of the spanking. You know, I don't know, I think it's, I believe, some people say I was raised by wolves. I believe very much in pack mentality and hierarchy, you know, and that the world works really well. While we're all equals at some level, there is a pack, there is an order to things.
Yes.
And humans, we want to sort of queue up.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know, okay, this person's bigger than me and they'll probably kill me, so I should probably be nice to them. Okay, this person's not a threat to me. And so we sort of align ourselves in that, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And we might do it subconsciously. It might be a defensive mechanism. We see these things like, you know, military structures are being built up around it. So I don't know where it comes from, but somehow as humans, we sort of flow to this. And I think also at some level, because we spend so much time up in our heads, that all of us at some level crave, please, I just don't want to manage this right now.
Right.
Just let me not manage this.
Right. And as well is that there are those powerful or alpha males and females who kind of inherit their role, and they would like to be released from that from time to time, and you know, to experience being freed from the responsibility of being the pack leader and being and following. So I suspect that is so very true, that it must be connected to so deep inside of us, you know, to our DNA, that, you know, we naturally ebb and flow. As new people come into our lives, we find a position in relationship to them.
And it's how they give it back to you, because, like, as you said, being the pack leader, being my life is a very stressful one. We are running without a net, and I have, you know, five employees who are now counting on me for their daily bread, and I am greatly committed to their well-being. And so, yeah, I'm the big pack leader. So when I get to that point, it's like, I need to let go of this. I need to let go of this. I am very fortunate that I have a partner in Matisse who will say, here, let me take this burden from you. Let me do this for you. We'll give you this moment where you don't have to be the boss.
Isn't that great?
And so, yes. And so for other people, I think probably, you know, the Dom-Sub dynamic works really well in short bursts. I can't really see it. I've had a long-term dominant-submissive relationship with someone where I had a submissive, and it just, it's an energy that's so hard to maintain, especially in this world that we live in. But in, like, those short, I like to call it the bubble.
Right.
In this bubble where it's like, okay, we're going to enter this bubble, and in this bubble, the rules of the rest of the world do not apply. So inside this bubble, you are just a person and I am just a person, and we're going to take these roles on, and we're going to do things, and we're going to experience things. And when we leave this bubble, we go back to our original roles. So it's not like, okay, just because, you know, I want to experience, you know, somebody wants to experience submissiveness in this hour, doesn't make them, oh, you're a little sissy slut now because you want to say, no, no, in this bubble, I wanted this.
Right.
It doesn't change who you are.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that that people feel or see as a is part of the mythology about tops and bottoms and doms and subs, is that, you know, it doesn't have any boundaries. It's, you know, it's, I, you know, once you enter this world, then you're always going to be one or the other in every situation, and that just simply isn't the case.
If I can go back to my amazing mother-in-law, when she first came out as being submissive, this was, we were sex positive, we were swingers, but we had not really ventured into the kink life. We were very, very confused, because this was, you know, this very strong woman. She raised a family. She was the emotional compass for this family.
Right.
had been like a surrogate mother to me. It's like, how could this strong woman want to do this thing and give up all of these rights and roles? It was not until it forced us to sit down and really evaluate what we knew about SM, mm-hmm. to take some classes, read some books, to go, oh, this is a role she wants. This does not define who she is.
Right. Oh, interesting.
You know, and for some people, you know, they say, oh, my dominance, you know, defines me. This is a role we take on, like, right. fathers, like, you know, I like doing daddy play. It really works with me. But it doesn't mean I'm a pedophile or I always want to be daddy or have, like, you know, strangers walk up and call me daddy. It's like, no. It's like, this is a role I like to play at a certain given point in time.
Uh-huh. Do you suppose that the dom-sub relationship that is part of edge play or power play has something to teach the broader population, even people in vanilla relationships, about domestic tranquility, for example?
I think if you accept that this is a temporary role or these bubbles exist,
mm-hmm.
and that you can step out of that bubble, it gives a greater opportunity, because how many times have we been in relationships where you just feel jammed?
Right.
Or you want to just, I don't want to be the one who initiates mm-hmm. sex tonight. Can you drive this fuck instead
mm-hmm.
of me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I just let go? Can mm-hmm. I, but no, not, this doesn't have to change who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So there is opportunity around that. And I firmly believe that as a culture, we are so wedged up into our heads that we forget our sexuality. We forget, you know, get down into our bodies. That, you mm-hmm. know, this kind of, you know, this play back and forth and this exchange of control, I mean, is a good and healthy thing, and that it doesn't have to be this permanent,
right?
You know, etched in stone thing, and right. that you may start off thinking, well, you know, I really like being a bottom. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You may move to eventually becoming a top,
mm-hmm.
or you. It's a malleable thing,
right?
And I think for, you know, broader vanilla population is breathe.
Mm-hmm.
There are other things out there. This model of the boys on top, the girls on bottom, just, you know, mm-hmm. we kind of hint at it, yeah. but
it
we
doesn't
don't
define you.
But it doesn't define you, and that at the same time, like, this can happen in a bubble, and it won't change who you are.
Right.
You know, in the morning, you're still you, and she's still she, and you're still married, and you still love each other.
Right. Right.
Just
because,
you know, for a few hours last night, she was slapping around, calling her dirty little fuck toy, and you had really good sex. It's okay.
It's so true. And once you're called that in this bubble, it doesn't mean that you're, you know, he's going to refer to you that way, you know, when you're out.
Exactly.
With the family.
Exactly. The family and things like that. This does not. For 24/7, for the rest of time, you know, you always have to show up on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time and place for this.
Mm-hmm. And that's the part of the negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in the scene now, and these are the parameters. And
you
then
know,
when the scene ends, then...
This is the parameters end. You know, there are those people who, you know, they try to apply this to like a 24/7 lifestyle.
Yeah.
There's, you know, God bless them. If that's what works for you, that's what works for you. For me, this is what works,
yeah.
is give me a bubble to play in,
mm-hmm.
let me walk out of the bubble,
mm-hmm.
and have it be different.
Right. We touched on this briefly a little while ago in terms of BDSM
mm-hmm.
Being both recreational and cathartic, and
mm-hmm.
you made the point about your own needs, you know,
mm-hmm.
that at some point, you know, you have to turn to Matisse or whomever and say, you know, allow me, you know, the opportunity to be something other than, so that's
mm-hmm.
cathartic,
mm-hmm.
And obviously the recreational aspect of it too. Anything else you want to add about that?
When people come start looking at SM, I know from the outside world, because I did this, they see all of these stereotypes. They see all the stuff online, and they see a lot of really confused imagery. From my own personal history, I have been disowned by my family because I am kinky, and I am public about it,
mm-hmm.
because all they could see was, oh my God, he's abusing his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, she's obviously an abused spouse.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, you know, so they saw the stereotype and they wouldn't look past or
mm-hmm.
see the fact she's giggling going, hey, that was fun, let's do that again, honey. Or the fact that she's crazier than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Wow. So it is. It's recreational. It's cathartic. It is it is part of our identity. And I come back to this when we're talking about being like edge players or whatever. Everyone at some level, everything is kinky. For some people, leaving the lights on during
exactly
sex is edge
point
play.
Absolutely.
That is scary. I would tell the story. Who's like, I had a client who came to me. This woman came to me, and she had been raped.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wanted a bondage experience because she wanted to face this fear.
Right.
She wanted to not be scared of this anymore.
Right.
And the person used a knife.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't want to be scared of this anymore. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I'm like, okay, I'm going to tie her up and I'm going to, you know, you run this knife across her skin. Some people, like, you know, more edgy Lord Master Photon, like, oh, that's really boring. It's only fun if you're going to, you know, stick her with a knife and then stick an electrode up her ass and blah, blah, blah. But for her, this was fucking terrifying. She was in tears. She was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for
but
me,
she controlled the
environment. She controlled the environment.
It.
She
good,
came
good,
to
good
me. We negotiated what she wanted,
right,
and we created this thing to help her overcome
mm-hmm
this experience.
Again, that bubble.
That,
in
bubble,
that bubble.
In that bubble. So that's what I talk about. Like, you know, everybody's a little kinky at
mm-hmm
some level.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no gold standard of, unless you're doing, I mean, we tell this to customers because they're like, I want to do suspension bondage. Which end of the rope do I pick up first? And we tell them, like, dude, tie her to the bedpost first, okay? When you got tied to the bedpost down, then we'll talk about suspension. It's like, this is not, if, you know, if you're not doing suspension bondage, you're not a real bondage top. It's like, just do what gets your partner off.
Mm-hmm. Again, you said that earlier, too, about, you know, playing to the one as opposed to the
exactly
ground.
Exactly, exactly. And so, just because, you know, you're what your idea of kink might be, leaving the lights on and, you know, playing Barry White as edgy, doesn't invalidate it for what I think as being kink.
Right.
And
right,
so, yes,
right, right,
it is recreational and it's very cathartic.
Yeah. So when you are playing, and I want to make the distinction between, you know, genital play and
mm-hmm
edge play or power play,
mm-hmm,
do you play with both men and women?
I do play with men and women. Now, play is an interesting word. I'm going to badly paraphrase. I think it's Laura Antony who said that, like, sex is any activity or inactivity that actively brings another person in the room to orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know people, you put a rope on them and they come. Did I fuck them? You know? Versus, you know, I got my Spider-Man costume on, I got a set of water wings, and we just filled a, you know, kiddie pool up with tapioca. That's a whole other situation. So, but I do a lot of play that's non-sexual, because it's
mm-hmm
about the power,
exactly,
it's about the SM.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I play with men and with women. Again, we come back to that good idea meter.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at, like, what we did at C, I had several girls, I had several boys, of different kinds of gender sexual identities. One piece that we did, and the one you were talking about earlier about me hanging upside down and tying myself up, this was a piece that I did with my friend Delano.
Mm-hmm.
Delano and I identify both as straight males and as switches.
Mm-hmm.
But we have this camaraderie and this great trust and friendship. So for us, going back and forth tying each other up was not a sexual or even a power play thing.
Mm-hmm.
For us, this was like, we were like two DJs battling back
right,
and forth.
Right,
going,
right.
Let me show you what I can do. Well, let me show you what I can do.
Yeah.
Back and forth and back
mm-hmm
and forth. So it became this funny, humorous, and at the same time, very, very bonding. We were,
mm-hmm,
we, it was a camaraderie.
No pun intended.
Very, the Mining's Project. Now, I had another cat who, little Thomas, who was trips this genderqueer. You know, he
mm-hmm
can wear a dress. He's super athletic as a dancer, and I have a thing for genderqueer. I like gender
mm-hmm
bending. And so, you know, for Thomas, kind of trigger that, ooh, I can be a big bad daddy for you. Okay,
mm-hmm,
come here, little boy. Let's play.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play. And then he challenged me back with, like, is that the best you got? I can
mm-hmm
bend farther.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me do this. Watch me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that triggered this. While it wasn't like, okay, I want to fuck this person, it was,
mm-hmm,
okay, let me exert my,
mm-hmm,
flex my daddy muscle. Let me,
mm-hmm,
you know, you're young, you're new to the community. Let me kind of
mm-hmm
play that and feel this. And then he challenged me back. He's like, look, I'm young, I'm flexible, and, you know, I bet you I can, anything you can do, I can do better. Oh, yeah, let's go. So, yeah, you play with both. And it is, I think with, like, SM play, edge play, whatever you want to call it, dominant submission, it is, you're playing with, like, your, you know, your bits, your genitals, as well as, like, your head.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it is, you know, some things get your brain off, get
mm-hmm
you trigger these things in your head that make you really happy. Like working with Leatherman, I really wanted to do a Tom of Finland does Japanese rope bondage because I love the big Leatherman energy. There's mm-hmm. just there's a friend of mine, his name's Tony Buff, who's who's just fun, and they give off this great energy, and it's just their physics are different, the power centers are different. Mm-hmm. So the bondage I do with him is really different than I would do with say a gymnast, a female gymnast,
yeah.
or with like Sophia and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it is. It doesn't have to be all about, you know, getting your bits tingly.
Right.
But it's also about like that interplay between people and again how you connect through it. So yes, you get it from both boys and girls.
Who are your sexual heroes?
You know, if I was a good little kinkster, I would rattle off names like Pat Califia, Fakir Mustafar, Olenek Bosch, Larry Flint. I mean, come on, the guy's done more to protect our free speech rights than any congressman. But you know what? I really think that our sexual heroes are those people who've been doing this before. We are very fortunate. As a straight male, straight identified, mostly straight, depends on who you ask. That's a whole other argument. Straight-esque. A male.
Ish.
Don't get my crew started on this one. My crew calls me a cock tease. It's like, you're such a cock tease. I'm really fortunate because there's this whole language of top and bottom and this history and this, you know, hell, floggers and, you know, single tail whips and, you know, who made the spanking benches? But it was the leather fags and it was the queers and it was the pornographers and the perverts who did this while it was underground, who were arrested, who rioted, who fought for these rights, who were the virginal sexual others. And I really kind of have to look back at them and go, you know, we owe you a huge debt of gratitude. And it is a great pet peeve of mine, especially as I see like new people coming into a community. We always think we invented this shit.
Right.
Or worse, we sort of romanticize that, like, oh, my SM, I was trained by a secret house in Europe. Or I was trained to rope bondage by a noble samurai who then went and learned it from, you know, robots from France. It's like, guys, we owe our history to the fags, the pornographers, the queers, the people who are doing this in back alleys.
Right.
They are the people. And that, let's not minimize that history. We really need to celebrate this.
Yes. So true.
Because their fight is our fight. And even today, they were the original fighting for the rights of the sexual other.
Mm-hmm.
And in the eyes of the religious right or whatever minority group,
mm-hmm.
we're all going against the wall.
That's right.
Doesn't matter if I want to stick my, you know, if I want to fuck a girl or fuck a boy, we're all quote unquote other.
That's right.
So I look back and I look at guys like Harvey Milk and, you know, people who's like, these guys really are heroes. And just the countless untold people who just had to put up with so much shit so that I can, you know, practice rope bondage, then I can have a company even.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the people we other, you know.
That's so true. It's so true. Care to share a little bit more in a formal sort of way?
Okay.
You've alluded to this quite a bit earlier. About your personal life. You do afford yourself a personal life, right?
Kind of.
I want our audience to think that you have a life beyond your sexual superhero-ness.
Well, as I tell people, and I am self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
So my boss is a bastard. He is just this slave-driving asshole. I have my company logo tattooed between my shoulder blades. I got that after 4 years. I figured after 4 years of bottoming to the company, I might as well make it official. So my company is my first love.
Mm-hmm.
She is, you know, Abigail is our company logo, and she is a very harsh mistress.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I am very, very, very lucky to have two of the most amazing partners in the whole world. My wife of now, oh God, we met when I was 14. We got married when I was 18. I'm going to turn 39 now. So 26 years we've been together. Tambo, who has been through thick and thin with me through every adventure and has never blinked once when I said, hey, honey, I think I want to do blonde. She's like, okay, cool. Will there be cake? Oh, my God. When I told her, yeah, I'm going to do blonde. And then my other partner, Mistress Matisse, who she and I are now coming up on 5 years together, which in poly terms is like dog years. We just keep looking at each other going, wow, we haven't killed each other? And I am really fortunate because they create this wonderful counterbalance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're alike in several ways, and yet they're very different.
Mm-hmm.
And so each one brings out qualities
mm-hmm.
unique. And so combined, they allow me to be a much more interesting, I think, much more rounded person.
Right.
Because they each trigger different things in me.
Right.
And I have a myriad of other people that I interact with at different levels,
mm-hmm.
but you know, when it's all said and done, the weaving of my life are these two women who are really my anchors
mm-hmm.
and empower me to be able to do all this crazy stuff that we've been talking mm-hmm. about. They both sort of understand like what roles
mm-hmm.
are, where their strengths are.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, Tam is amazing behind this curtain.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so like in the lead up to
mm-hmm.
Sif. She is like, you know, or even at Sif, she was, I could look and behind the stage, there she was.
Yes.
All the time, because
yes.
that's what she did. And
yes.
that's where, she's like, I don't want to be in front of the camera that much. Let
yes.
me be behind the curtain, making sure
yes.
that you have what you need.
But yes. there's that beautiful picture of her.
Oh,
know,
it's gorgeous. Isn't she beautiful?
Like,
I know. I know. And then, you know, there's Matisse, who we do all these public things together.
Yeah, right.
So she was like, you know, this is your public face.
Mm-hmm.
And so they each so take these roles
mm-hmm.
really well, and they complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like, okay, I can give this to him. I will give this back. And so, like I said, that's why
You're
I'm
awfully
really,
lucky.
I'm knocking on my head. I wake up every morning and go, oh my God, I get to do this really amazing job. I have these really amazing, beautiful women in my life who, you know, don't kill me.
Our time is up. And
oh, no.
I know. And, well, I guess we're going to have to make another
oh,
nay.
Okay.
At another time. But before we go, could you again give us your website address and walk us around a little bit and let us know what we could find there?
Of course. The first place you're going to want to go to, of course, is twistedmonk.com, which is the company website where we will... hook you up with bondage instruction, we will hook you up with books, with videos, with, of course, rope, and all those things. From there, I would jump over to my blog, twistedmonk.blogspot.com, where for
and
now...
And there's a link on your main site, right.
It is, for now, the last 5 years, I've been keeping a pretty much daily journal of my life from the going from my garage making bondage rope to where we are now. And from there, we branch out to our Twitter feed for daily updates, our YouTube channel with our video blogs, our... I think we have... I have a podcast with Matisse. All its whole media branches out from there. And
so
in the blog...
an empire. A media empire.
We really strongly believe in embracing as much technology as possible.
And rightfully so. And I'm so glad that you are as savvy and as willing to be so present, because it this is the kind of thing that makes the difference for my audience.
Yeah.
I mean, listening to one voice is even an enlightened, sex-positive voice is one thing, but listening to a chorus of voices, you know, talking from their own perspective, bring such depth and warmth and interest to my audience, and so I am eternally grateful for you being so generous with your precious time.
Thank
you.
You
are all the richer for the experience.
I think, and that's one of the greatest things about the internet, is that we are not alone.
It's so true. It's so true. And I do hear from people, you know, all over the world, and, you know, people who have to be very private and very quiet about their interest in, you know, even the modicum of human sexuality. And so this is just such a rich experience for them. Good.
Glad to help.
Thank you so much. And until we are together again sometime, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
Thank you much.
Thanks, Monk.
Ah, great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, you guys. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the header of Dr. Dick's sexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand.
Okay. Are you sure? Because, I mean, how do you know?
You're just going to have to take my word for it, ma'am. Listen, there's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or you can search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe, and I invite you to leave a comment when you do. Until next time, remember, sex is good. And good sex? That's even better. Over and out.